I'm going to present on what's going on in the later stages. Do integral developmental theories agree? And the quick answer is, of course, that they agree in some places and they disagree in others. And what I'm working on are some new ways to look at those models that might help us ask different kinds of questions so that we can compare and contrast and integrate them or think about them. So I'm not going to like describe what happens at later levels. I don't feel like qualified to like tell you like what it's like to be in later levels and so forth, but I'm going to introduce some concepts and ideas that will help us in an inquiry in that direction. So I'll explain these terms later, but first I'll just read through them and ask you to take a minute to let just the whatever comes to your mind, whatever comes to your body, your heart, when these words appear, and just take a moment. Wisdom skill equals complexity capacity plus spiritual clarity. And just take a moment to sense what that feels like and whether any questions, curiosity, sense of that sounds dumb or a sense of, maybe there's something in there. So I want to be clear that this is really fresh, new stuff. I'm halfway through a book on this, and it's really work in progress, and so we want to play with it. 20 minutes is not a lot of time for a lot of stuff that's I'm going to go through quickly, but Terry and Kim and Jeff and I have set up a time at 7 to 8, right after dinner, before the fun starts in this room, for anyone that wants to continue the conversation and just chat about what I'm presenting, what Terry's presenting, and even what the third presenter is presenting. This journey started for me 10 years ago. There's an issue of Integral Review Journal where there was a dialogue between people in the Neo-Piagetian tradition and people in the Lovinger ego development tradition. A bunch of papers in there. Terry had one, Bill Torbert, Suzanne, Zach Stein, and Katie Heikkinen. And my contribution there was called Intuiting the Cognitive Line in Developmental Assessment: Do Heart and Ego Develop Through Hierarchical Integration? And it was mostly a paper with just questions, kind of bringing forth this sense that a lot of us had that the hierarchical complexity tradition, the Neo-Piagetian tradition, wasn't capturing all of what we were talking about. And that was significant because these are very deep and rigorous and very high-quality theories in the Neo-Piagetian tradition that propose to cover, to be able to explain or model all kinds of skills and growth and development. So that was the start of this, and 10 years later, I think I have some beginnings of how to answer this question, and this is just a quote from that paper. As we grow in wisdom, there are elements of unlearning, letting go, emptying, opening. The wise heart is spacious, connected, and unattached. So that kind of takes you a little bit into what this question was 10 years ago. So to ease into this question a little bit deeper, we'll just look at the way that development is assessed in these two lineages, at least the most popular current ways they're assessed. The folks at Lectica in the Neo-Piagetian tradition have a problem-solving dilemma that they give to you and a series of questions. So I won't read them, but this is what an example looks like. And then in the ego development tradition, we use the sentence completion test. So there's between 30 and 36 of these sentence stems, raising a family, blank, change is, blank. And you can already kind of start to feel into the difference in what it feels like to take these two assessments. This is what's called a projective test. It's kind of like a Rorschach test. So it's drawing from things that are hopefully kind of can be unconscious or below cognition. It can sound more like poetry. Sometimes the answers are kind of long analytical paragraphs, and that's fine. For both of these systems, it takes someone quite a long time to train to be able to score them. So to be able to look at these 36 blocks of text and score them and come up with a developmental analysis is not an easy thing to do. So there's this sense that the Neo-Piagetian model, at least how it's represented and used today, has a little more of a kind of cognitive feeling to it, and we want to kind of investigate what or why that what that might be about. Also, let's see, is Aiden? I don't know Aiden. Does Aiden happen to be here? Okay, I hear he's at the conference. So we can also point to some research that that Aiden Thornton is doing. It's not published yet, but it's been presented in a few places, the beginnings of it. So it's a dissertation work where he's actually empirically comparing assessments from these two traditions. And it turns out they're not very well correlated. So again, we have some evidence that there's different things going on. So just to quickly take a peek at the developmental models that I'm working on trying to compare and contrast. In the Neo-Piagetian tradition, there's Michael Kamen's hierarchical complexity model and Kurt Fischer's skill theory. And the people at Lectica have sort of combined the two of them. This is a picture of skill theory. And the thing to notice here is that it's a series of tiers. And each tier is like a new kind of object that you're aware of and can operate on. And within each tier, there's a sequence of increasing complexity and nuance and depth with that kind of object. So the easiest one to point to is the move from in more traditional terms from concrete operations to formal operations. So you can see that you can get very complicated within concrete operations. You can get extremely complicated, you know, as a mechanic or something like that. But going into formal operations is like a new, whole new kind of world of objects that you are manipulating with your thought. From the ego development tradition, this is from Suzanne's work, there is this sense that at some point, in addition to the sort of constructive element from the Neo-Piagetian kind of idea that knowledge is constructed and built through differentiation, integration, in sort of layers of emerging phenomena, there's also something going on that's more about deconstruction. So letting go of whatever the ego, your ideas, your constructs. And I also want to mention that I put Keegan's model of meaning making side by side with the ego development models. I think they're all talking about pretty much the same thing. And Keegan has said as much as in his books that he thinks they're the same thing. I'm working very closely with Terry's model these days. And she talked about it some. And the thing to point out here is that it also, it sort of starts with pretty much the same levels from Lovinger and Cookreuter, but it breaks them up into tiers. And it's kind of an interesting bridge between the ego development tradition and hierarchical complexity. That's not my bell, is it? In that it breaks it up into a series of tiers, and with each tier, there's a new kind of object that emerges that you're operating on. So let's think a little bit about what's going on at later stages. These are some of the things that we associate with later stages. Complexity, you know, multiple perspective taking, thinking about systems, this kind of thing. Wisdom, which is like about self-knowledge, humility. There's some sense of the kind of social, emotional, empathic capacities that we can develop. And also spiritual awakening, the kinds of experiences, states, stable state stages that Wilbur and others point to. So again, I won't have any grand model or answers for all this, but actually I'm going to skip some of these because time is short. So in this work, I'm drawing from Terry's model, also from Dan Brown, and also a bunch from Benita Roy's theoretical work. So so one thing I want to propose is we can look at some of these state-type experiences that are talked about in terms of spiritual growth and spiritual experience, and we can map those to actual. So one of the puzzles in this question about adult development is that at the top reaches of development, however we conceptualize that, there's an idea that things come together. You know, there's like some spiritual unity and non-duality and spaciousness and timelessness at the later levels. And I want to propose that an important part of what's going on is really about going back down in rather than up. And that these experiences we're talking about, I'm not the first one to propose this, by the way, I'm just drawing from different sources here, is that each of these can be associated with a time in our early life when these things were constructed. And that these states are about kind of finding a way to work in there and deconstruct what was constructed. So there's a time in everyone's life where they construct a sense of self, and it's actually many different levels of that. You realize you have a body, and that's you. You realize you're separate from your mom. You realize that you're a person that has ideas and beliefs. There's actually many levels of constructing the self, and for everything that you can construct, you can later go in and deconstruct what that was. It was actually a time in early life where we construct the sense of time, a sense of space. So what these techniques do is they allow us to go back and loosen up or deconstruct that thing. And actually, you don't want this to happen too early in life because we need time and space and concepts and so forth. So that's another topic about sort of the appropriate timing of these things. So we can look at development and growth in terms of these stages like we do in our developmental models. And I'm splitting it up here into the growth of the perceptual self and the social self. And in the same way, in the sort of deconstructive process, at each of those points, we can deconstruct. So therapeutic methods tend to deconstruct aspects of the social self, and contemplative practices deconstruct aspects of the perceptual self. So, okay, let's skip that. So, whose slide is that? No, it's missing the colors I have in it. It's all right. So, this is basically the model that I'm developing. I have this term, I call it wisdom skill. It's kind of an umbrella term, and I'm just proposing that ego development, Keegan's meaning-making model, and spiritual intelligence, there's like a lot of overlap in what these things are talking about. So I call it wisdom skill. Wisdom skill equals complexity capacity plus spiritual clarity. Complexity capacity is exactly what is described by the Neo-Piagetian tradition. So any kind of growth, change, evolution that happens with successive layers of integration and differentiation is here. And anything that is sort of that sort of deconstructing, taking apart, seeing through, letting go, that's on this side. And there's important relationships between the two. Once you deconstruct something, it releases insight that you then reintegrate into whatever your current state of development is. So it's not about like going back to childhood. So in the sense, like, you know, if you have a difficult relationship with your mom and you're in therapy and you realize, oh, the way that I see women is about that thing that happened with my mom. And if you have a deep enough insight there, you release something and you see all your relationships with women differently, you see your mom differently. You never actually regressed or went back to when you were 7 years old or 3 years old. But there's a way you went in and deconstructed it, released some insights, and those insights are then integrated into whatever your current state of growth and wisdom is. 3 minutes. Okay, 3 minutes. Well, so all I'll do is... This is another picture of Terry's model that I've been using. So all I'll do is I'll highlight some other kinds of insights or themes that can come out of this work. One, again, is if you didn't get a sense of it before, that this idea of spiritual realization coming from someplace way up here, what we know about... Go back. So what we know about complexity capacity is that it produces increasing differentiation and uniqueness. And there's something that doesn't match. You know, how do we get oneness and unity up there somewhere if those processes keep branching out? The oneness and unity come in this direction. Okay, the deeper you go in that direction, the more we have in common. You can go through layers of the self, layers of the self, the perceptual system, the sort of animal system, and so forth. We can also talk about how complexity can keep increasing at any tier. And Terry calls it like spinning out. And it can look like you're getting more and more complex, but you're kind of staying with the same kind of objects. And this can happen at the subtle tier as well. And it might be that what's happening with the Neo-Piagetian tradition is that they're talking about ever more like systems of systems and systems, and that's why it has that sort of very cognitive feeling to it. But it's also true that it really depends on the kinds of operations that you're interested in. One person's vertical can be another person's horizontal development. So that's a whole other conversation. And then there's a whole bit about a new way of looking at states and stages, which looks at states kind of using a brain neuron metaphor, states being firing and stages being wiring. And so that's something that can also be unpacked, which I won't have time to do. How many seconds do I have left?
19.
Wow. Okay. Okay, so states versus stages. Again, I'm drawing from or inspired a lot by things that Terry has developed over the years. And the final thing I say is that this whole approach is an attempt, is an effort to take a post-metaphysical approach on all of these questions. So whether it's developmental or kind of spiritual development, these ideas of spirit, soul, higher authentic self, they're very useful concepts, but they can get us into trouble. So what would it be like to have a theory of waking up, growing up, and cleaning up that does not refer to words like absolute or ultimate? It's part of what I'm up to.